The Pat Kenny Show
with MasterCard. Share in extraordinary experiences all over the world with priceless cities at priceless.com.
This is News Talk.
Dubrovnik and the Adriatic Islands are familiar to many holidaymakers, but there's more to Croatia than its coastline. Irish Independent travel editor Paolo Canila is just back from there, and he's in studio with me now. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
Now, we're still in March. What was the weather like in Croatia in March?
Well, it wasn't unlike what I've come into you from this morning. It was about 15, 16 degrees, a little bit of sunscreen on.
That's a bit unseasonal for us, but for them it's kind of normal.
But the most beautiful thing, and the minute I got off the plane, was the blue sky. I just felt the vitamin D come into me. Do you know, after the winter of greyness and short hours of daylight and so on, that was just felt like a real boost to the system. And this is a good time to travel. The summer schedules start up next month with the airlines.
Yeah.
So if you can get there April, May, June before the rush of the summer.
And who flies there? Time.
Access to Croatia has blossomed in recent years. We've got at the moment summer flights. Ryanair flies to Dubrovnik, Zadar and Split, and Aer Lingus to Dubrovnik, Pula and Split. And then you also have travel agents, obviously.
You have
doing
the package
the
holidays
and the charters as well. So if you're looking for an alternative to Portugal, to Spain, to the Canary Islands, here's one, and it's not too far.
Now, one of the places that people say, got to see it, Dubrovnik. Mm-hmm. But that's becoming a problem.
It is, actually. Have you been?
I have, yeah.
Yeah, this is a stunning UNESCO World Heritage Site of a city. You will have seen it in Game of Thrones. The picture of it from above with the fortified walls, really familiar to everybody. It is beautiful. But I was reading that less than 5,000 people live there. In 2016, UNESCO threatened to withdraw its World Heritage status, and the reason is it is absolutely jammers. So jammers that the limestone pavement on the main street is getting precariously slippy, worn down by flip-flops and tourist footsteps. So each season they need to roughen it up.
So it's kind of the Venice problem.
It is exactly a Venice problem, or Barcelona, and they have taken steps. Cruise ship day trips are now limited. There were something like 8,000 visitors a day. That's now limited to 4,000. But the long and the short of it is, if you pitch up there in the heat of July or August, you are not going to have, you're not going to stroll down that street by yourself, you know, with your gelato.
So parking Dubrovnik, and if you can get there off season, that's great.
Yeah.
And by the way, Dubrovnik, I suspect, is quite expensive compared to the rest
of... Yeah, relatively speaking. Now, it would be cheaper than staying in Dublin. And if you can go off season, like we're discussing, September, early October would be a peachy time to visit, because the Riviera there, the sea would be lovely and warm, and the crowds would be dwindling at that stage. But yes, definitely in Croatian terms, expensive. So what I did, I went there last week with a mission to get, I based myself about 300k north in a town called Šibenik, and I was trying to find, to strike inland a bit, to go off radar, to find coastal resorts that weren't so pricey, that were a little bit more unheard of. And boy, did I find them. It's a really beautiful part of the world.
There's a park, a national park.
Yeah, there is. So it's called Krka, K-R-K-A, and it was one of my top of my list to visit. It's just a really short drive, less than half an hour, 45 minutes from Šibenik. What it does is it follows this dramatic river canyon through Croatia for about 100k. And it's almost, I thought, because there's a lot of greenery around, it reminded me of the west of Ireland, bizarrely, channeled through Yosemite. So you had these limestone karstic landscapes like you'll find in the Burren, the dry stone walls that you'll find on the Aran Islands and in the west of Ireland, and there's this scrub growing up between them. But then you had this dramatic canyon that you can walk through, that they have zip lines across, that there are cycling trails around. And I did a short hike up down from the top of the canyon to the bottom over one of the waterfalls. There are several different sets of waterfalls. These particular ones they describe as necklaces because of the way they're spread across the river. And standing there last week, I was the only person in the area, this whole national park. Beautiful, uncrowded and off radar.
Now, the cost of living for Croatians away from the coastal resorts.
Yeah.
I mean, we have this Irish thing of gauging everything on the price of a pint.
You look about €2 or even
€2 for
a
pint.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you talk about a plate of fresh fish. Even in the coastal resorts that would cost you 25 or 30 quid here in Ireland, you'd get for half the price. So it is one of those parts of the world. This lovely Mediterranean climate, the diet where there's lots of olive oil, there's lots of fresh fish, tomatoes, salad, a kind of a cross between what you might find in Italy and Greece, but also prosciutto. There's a climate, a microclimate in this area that's great for drying ham. It reminded me of the Sierra Nevada in southern Spain, where you suddenly land into every conaba, which is they call the casual restaurants, and they're serving up these plates of freshly cut slivers, you know, the ruby red hams, served with some hard cheese. So you felt like it could be in southern Spain.
Do they have their own local wines?
They do. Everybody that you meet, sort of, who had a small farm holder, that would grow their own wine, would grow their own olives, and would have their own pigs and make their own ham. And I went to a little place called Ethnoland. A guy has set it up on his grandfather's territory, where he does this cultural tour in the old house, and he shows you how they used to live. And one room on it was a cellar called a conaba, where they would meet in the evenings, knock on the door and share a few shards of ham and a glass of wine. And that's why the restaurants are called that to this day.
OK, what's pica?
Pica, so that's like... Would you remember the old Irish bastable, like a large pot that was cooked on a fire, slow cooking meats and maybe even bread within, with turf plonked on top, so it's
really
surrounded to create an oven-like atmosphere. So the pica is similar. It's put on a hot surface, and on top then they have a special lid that you can put hot embers on, and you put in tough meats like rooster or tough cuts of a lamb, and you cook it there for several hours and just leave it be, and then lift it off. And my God, the tenderness and the sizzle when you open that lid, and the smoky smell of the embers and the wood goes through the food as well. It's real rustic.
Now, obviously,
pleasure.
We're familiar with the civil war
on
the Yugoslav peninsula, but they've had other problems historically. And the history of Croatia, I mean, there's a Latin influence there, Roman influence.
Yeah.
I'm sure the Ottomans were there.
They were.
So you've got all of this stuff happening historically. Are the remnants to be seen?
Yeah, there are. That's a great way to look at it. If you're interested in history, you'll be intrigued. Croatia sits between the Balkans and Eastern Europe. So it struck me that everybody who was coming and going peacefully or violently over the years has been there. So I went to a town called Klin, and there's a fortress on top of it, and a big stone relief over the entrance had a Venetian lion on it, and down the road there was an old Roman bridge, and then someone was telling me stories about an Ottoman conquest. And then of course this part of Croatia, desolately but evocatively, is strewn with the empty ruins of houses that were just abandoned during the war.
This is the recent war in the 90s.
This is the war in the 90s with the breakup of the former Yugoslavia. So people were... I was literally, each guide I met told me of their living memory that they spent days in shelters, and school was disrupted, and some of them had to move to live in hotels during the war. It's very fresh in the memory. This was 91 to 95, and you probably remember reporting on it
absolutely.
At the time. This was a time before we all had the internet and everything was instant. It was a really dominant story. But to see those empty shells and husks in the landscape is so evocative. It's not something you notice on the coast, but once you strike inland, it really brings it to life.
So if someone wants to go to Croatia, what's your recommendation?
So in terms of, I would base yourself, I stayed in Šibenik. There's another, there's a town nearby, the name has gone from my mind, Primošten, sorry, which are beautiful island towns, old fortified towns. Šibenik was in Game of Thrones as well. I would base yourself there. There's and I can give you hotel and resort recommendations too. And then I would hire a car for 2 or 3 days. The driving, particularly off season, I found easy. It's on the right hand side of the road, but the signposts are easy. The roads are all in good condition.
English?
English is so widely spoken. I mean, I got by with two words I learned. One was Havala, which is thank you, and the other is Pomalo, which is the Dalmatian word for take it easy, slowly, relax.
And they do.
That is one of my main takeaways, being so busy and work-life balance and juggling family and work and all of that, just to come into a part of the world where it was important to people to take time to chat and have a long coffee and not to rush. Of course, there's an infuriation side.
So there are travel agents if you want it done for you, and then you can DIY it.
In terms of specialists, Croatia Tours and Concord Travel are worth a look. I stayed at the Hotel Life Palace, which is a converted palace in Sibenik, where they have rooms from 109 a night, which is reasonable. And there's a big resort then also nearby that you can get as part of a package called the Amadria Park Resort. So that's a 4-star if you want to get the flights and the hotel bundled.
Some of the comments already coming in. Pat and Bray, Split, Trugear, Zadar, all great historic sites as well. Another one, a place I've longed to get to. Paul's description has only made the longing stronger. So there you are. Paul O'Connell, travel editor with independent.ie. Thank you very much.